The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
8:09. Welcome. It's our second hour together here on Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. Marking each day with low lights from the Democrat experience and thinking about next week's Republican experience, it's a joy to welcome a series of folks from the actual White House and from the Trump campaign, which are different sources of guest material. It is great to welcome the wonderful Aaron Perini from the campaign. Aaron, welcome. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
And it's funny, Aaron and I were just talking off the air. I said, are you guys watching this? Are you taking notes? Is it, in a way, is every night of the DNC, and here comes Kamala tonight, more on that in a moment, but night number one and night number two, it's almost like they're writing ads for us.
Oh, they certainly are. I mean, we remember during the Democrat debates when they had everybody on stage. Those were multiple hours of free advertising for the reelection of President Trump. We're seeing the same thing with this news fest and the extreme socialism that Democrats are trying to run on. Yesterday, we saw multiple people on different panels of the Democrat Party sitting there and saying that they want to talk about defunding the police, that they're talking about socialized medicine, and that they are talking about these extreme policies that would absolutely decimate America. Every time the Democrats step up and they go on TV, they are just making the case for President Trump.
There are those who would say that, those are voices in the Democrat Party. But in elevating Joe, Joe is a somewhat more affable, somewhat more moderate voice. And if the party was that radical, they would have nominated Bernie.
Well, Joe Biden is no moderate, and the media, the mainstream media, has worked hard to provide him air cover to say he is. They call Kamala Harris a pragmatic moderate, even though she has signed on to the Green New Deal with Squad Queen AOC. They talk about things like eliminating the Trump tax cuts, which would automatically lower paychecks for over 80% of American households. They are talking about socialized medicine. And let's remember, Joe Biden has just an empty vessel of the radical left. All he is doing is standing there, having had to sell his soul to win the nomination. Finally, after three attempts at running for president, he won just so that somebody like Kamala, whose voting record in the Senate is so extreme and liberal, it makes Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren blush. That's what we're talking about, and the two of them are a ticket to try and save America? Absolutely not. They will destroy our great country.
The Harris-Biden ticket, as I have. I had a total Freudian slip, a dyslexic moment, but Harris-Biden ticket is sort of what it seems like. So she speaks tonight, and then Joe will, in some form, accept the nomination on Thursday. And then we have the weekend, and then it's time for the Republican convention, in air quotes, such as it will be. And again, we were talking off the air. I said, listeners just want for you and the president and everybody, please, Lord, let's do something that looks a little different next week. And you gave me a little bit of a hint that it will indeed look different, and not just in terms of content.
Oh, yeah. Well, the terms of content's going to be one thing, but we're going to be talking about the forgotten men and women of America, those who feel forgotten no more because of President Trump. And let's remember, President Trump has had national television. He knows what a great program looks like. He sets the highest standards for this campaign day in and day out to make sure any product we put out meets his exceptional standards of what things should look like. And this can be different. It will be patriotism full of hope and full of American greatness and policies that put America first, not last.
I know that there are a lot of plans and a lot of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed, but will there at some point be someplace, maybe outside, where actual human beings can react to what he says?
I can't give any sneak peeks at this point, but I can tell you what we're going to see is going to be just an absolutely exceptional convention. This is President Donald Trump. Anything less than absolute epicness would never meet his standards.
We will be told off it. It will be the best convention ever. So returning to this week, or for a final couple of moments with Aaron Perini from the Trump campaign, a convention and a candidacy are measured by what they say and also what they don't say. As America's downtowns burn, as Democrat-led cities are showered with broken glass, it's funny. I don't know what you would expect a Democrat convention necessarily to say about that, but maybe you could have them suggest that lawlessness is bad, suggest that it's a bad time to be talking defunding the police when the police are getting firecrackers thrown at them?
Oh, yeah. You would hope that Democrats would stand up to violence at its most basic level, but they won't. Why? Because they are extreme liberals, and they think that chaos in our streets, chaos in our election system, and chaos in our country is to their benefit. President Trump believes in a unified, strong nation from the ground up. The contrast could not be clearer. AOC yesterday got 60 seconds of primetime airtime and did not mention Joe Biden once, because they know that the radical left in this nation wants to destroy us, and they just see Joe Biden as the vessel to do it.
Aaron Perini from the Trump campaign, always a pleasure to have you or anybody from the office. It's a pleasure. Good luck. Best to the boss. Let's talk next week or anytime you want about what the Republican side rolls out in this strange virus era. You know, conventions are a little bit different, but it's still Donald Trump, and that's a good thing to remember. Aaron, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Aaron Perini from the Trump campaign. All righty, 866-660-5759. Let us pivot directly to another campaign we'd like for you guys to sign on to, and that would be the SOTA Weight Loss Journey. It's just a great idea, because that's where people of any political stripe, of any designation, of any demographic type can lose weight, can get rid of weight they've been looking to get rid of forever. And maybe it's been years that you've said, well, I really need to get rid of this stubborn 20, or maybe you got more like 60, or maybe got more like 100. Whatever your number is, the journey begins with what producer Rhonda K. Moreland did a couple of years ago, and that's walk into the office for the first time. And when you do, you meet the team that's going to get you there.
You know, it's funny that you just exited from that segment, because I actually, before I joined the Mark Davis Show team, that's what I was doing. I was recommending great people, great candidates, great businesses, and promoting. And so for me to experience and talk about the SOTA journey and the weight loss program, I'm talking about people's health. So it's a little bit different, and it's so personal because it was my experience, and it was such a success, and it was such a great experience that's changed my life, Mark. And all for the better. And not only did I lose 63 pounds, but I feel great. I feel younger, and I'm so energetic.
And this is the thing, is when we tell you about these people's experiences, when Rhonda tells you about hers, if you go to SOTAweightloss.com, S-O-T-A, state of the art, SOTAweightloss.com, you find 3,700 and some reviews. The number grows. Just pick a handful of those. Look at the before and after pictures and videos, and Rhonda's is there. The client experiences videos, they're all there. It's just an amazing place to go to see, to get the inspiration to do what you know you ought to do. So let this be the day. Call 1-800-555-6521, 1-800-555-6521, or SOTAweightloss.com. They'll do SOTA at home if that's your comfort zone. But listen, you can be comfortable walking into any of the 7 locations across North Texas. They're distancing, sharing the love and the wisdom from 6 feet away. It's SOTAweightloss.com, chosen weight loss program of your Dallas Cowboys organization and fans. It is SOTAweightloss.com. Learn it, live it, let go of that weight. SOTAweightloss.com. SOTA!
It's state of the art.
/8:23 on this Wednesday, the 19th of August. Little Clapton in Mainline, Florida. All right, so coming up 8:35, we spent a whole lot of yesterday talking about State Senator, soon-to-be Congressman Pat Fallon, and the vacancy that he will leave when he exits Senate District 30 to go be our 4th District Congressman, replacing John Ratcliffe, who then went to go, who has now gone to be President Trump's Director of National Intelligence. And what we learned yesterday is that salon activist and now Texas reopening warrior Shelley Luther is very seriously considering running for that vacancy in the state Senate. But what does Pat Fallon think about that? What, I mean, not about her particularly, but what is about the vacancy he will leave and the job he is about to get. So one of our favorite folks for many, many years, State Senator Pat Fallon, will join us at 8:35. And speaking of people who were trying to get into Congress, Genevieve Collins, who has the opportunity to return Colin Allred to private life and to regain or reclaim Texas District 32. For the Republican side, she'll join us at 9:05. So, fresh off our chat with Aaron Perini about the Republican convention, I was comforted and pleased to hear from Aaron that the Republican planners, the event, they're keeping it close to the vest, as well they should, because the people who are watching, the people who plan on voting for Joe Biden are watching this at night and probably love it. The people who have no intention of voting for Joe Biden probably aren't even watching it at all, or they're watching it and they're mocking it. That's all baked in. The interesting thing that any convention does it take people who are in the mushy middle, who haven't really made up their minds, and boy, what does that even look like? The undecided voter. Anyway, the independent voters, I don't know, whatever you want to call people. Who or may not be as ideologically wired as you or I might be, or as people on the staunch left might be. Does it sway them? Because my wish, my wish for the Trump campaign, my wish for the Republican convention, is to pitch to people who might not be. I mean, do you want to pitch to conservatives? Of course. Reinforce the conservative reasons to vote for President Trump? Obviously, absolutely, of course. But I also want to pitch about the economy. I also want to do a sales job that is based on the kinds of policies that stand up for the Constitution, that stand up for American greatness, that seek to lift up our people in uniform, whether they be military uniforms or police uniforms, because I absolutely believe there are people in the center and even on the left who believe in those things. And anytime you can peel away voters to your side, that's a good thing. And that's what I'll be looking for in the Republican convention next week. So as I watch the Democrat convention this week, or try to, I'm thinking, are there any undecided voters, any independents, any folks who watch this and go, oh, yeah, I got to line up behind these people. You know what? Let me put that to the test. We got a lot of guest action coming up today, but I'll create windows for calls and things you want to talk about. Are you genuinely on the fence about Trump versus Biden, and you're watching this Democrat show this week, and it's actually pulling you toward Biden? Please let me hear from you. I want to know what that looks like and sounds like. Mary Bruce of ABC with a little of what last night looked like. And sounded like.
Well, for Joe Biden, last night was a moment three decades in the making. The party formally, even if unconventionally, bringing Joe Biden one step closer to the Oval Office. Overnight, Democrats officially nominating Joe Biden for president.
Oh, my Lord. Cool in the gang notwithstanding. I guess that was just sort of piped through, and their balloons. It looks, are they in like a high school library or something? I mean, that's lovely. And what can you do? I'm not going to fault them for this. What can you do? I'm going to see what Trump does Tuesday night for the actual delegate counting. And then Wednesday night, you'll get Pence, and Thursday night, you'll get Trump himself. This week, we get Kamala Harris tonight, and Joe Biden's going to actually have to talk tomorrow night. So, but there's Jill, and she's a lovely woman, and there are like four or five people behind them just jumping up and down while streamers pour out of the institutional ceiling. Oof.
The traditional fanfare replaced with a virtual cross-country round of applause.
Thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart.
In a sign of the times, the delegates casting their votes not on a packed convention floor, but spread out across the country.
And I thought this was actually pretty cool. There's somebody in Nevada. There's somebody in North Dakota. There's somebody in Ohio. And it's kind of funny. In a way, it sort of forced them to tighten that up a little bit. We've all seen conventions where you know, Madam Secretary, the people of the great state of South Dakota, home of this and that and this person and that person. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. You go run to the kitchen, make a sandwich, come back and say, and the featuring tourism. Oh, my gosh. Give our delegates to fill in the blank. I will tell you, Rhode Island might have been the star of the show, offering up the comeback of calamari. I didn't know calamari ever went away.
It was a night to bridge the party's past to its future.
You know what Joe Biden will do? Build back better.
Instead of a single address,
this year, all of us are on the stage. And we've got a lot to say.
The keynote delivered by 17 rising Democratic stars.
Faced with a president of cowardice.
Stacey Abrams, who still thinks she won in Georgia. I don't know.
Joe Biden is a man of proven courage.
One of the most prominent members of the next generation, progressive powerhouse Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, given only 60 seconds to make her case for the movement built by Bernie Sanders.
A movement that realizes the unsustainable brutality of an economy that rewards explosive inequalities of wealth for the few, at the expense of long-term stability for the many.
And for the second night in a row, prominent Republicans...
Nope. Colin Powell is not, and has not been for nearly a generation, a prominent Republican. Stop lying.
Crossing the aisle to stand with Biden.
Not crossing the aisle. Stop it. Colin Powell endorsed Obama twice and endorsed Hillary. Stop lying.
Biden will be a president we will all be proud to salute.
Cindy McCain, the wife of late Senator and Republican presidential nominee John McCain, recalling the unlikely friendship that transcended party lines.
They would just sit and joke. It was like a comedy show sometimes to watch the two of them.
Capping the night, Jill Biden speaking from her old English classroom about Joe Biden as a husband and a father who overcame great loss.
4 days after Beau's funeral, I watched Joe shave and put on his suit. I saw him steel himself in the mirror, take a breath, put his shoulders back, and walk out into a world empty of our son.
And we all feel for that. And we all, that is a human connection. And that is something we can all share for Joe and Jill. Absolutely. But as I've said a couple of times today, that's not what matters right now. What matters is, are Joe Biden's policies, the directions Joe Biden will allow this country to be led in, the Harris-Biden ticket, is that what you want for the next 4 years of America? That answer is either yes or no. And if it's yes, then you're a liberal and vote that way. If the answer is no, then no heartwarming friendship of no. It is a time to choose, and nothing else matters except the policies that the next 4 years of presidency will bring. All right, let's talk about some policies that have been in the state Senate, thanks to the conservatism of Pat Fallon, who will be headed to Congress, and soon we'll ask him about that next. Mark Davis, 832. Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom. Our Wednesday, August 19th program, 866-660-5759. Tracking the lowlights of the Democrat convention each night in the Harris-Biden ticket. And yes, I mean that. But we've taken some really interesting side trips into things of continuing interest. And over the last few weeks, there's been a whole lot of Pat Fallon in the news. First, as John Ratcliffe, who has so nobly and ably filled that 4th District congressional seat and who now begins a stint as President Trump's Director of National Intelligence, that created a vacancy. And local Republicans kind of gathered to conference at the party level to determine who the nominee should be. I mean, he kind of got an election in short order. So who's the Republican going to be? And a lot of people signed up for that. And it wound up being Pat Fallon, who we know for a long time, a state Senate career that has been filled with distinction and conservatism. And so then, as it, you know, here goes Pat from the state Senate to Congress, one presumes. And that will create a vacancy in the state Senate. So, wow, who might rush in? It's the fun game of dominoes that results every time anybody or any group of people follows a trail in various types of ascendancy. So there's been a lot of talk about Pat. we figured we ought to talk to Pat, current state senator and, well, future congressman. Pat Fallon is with us. Morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Mark. You are a great American. Great
I try, man. I try. Hey, I thought about you on the day that... Tell everybody how this goes. John Ratcliffe leaves the 4th District of Congress to go be Trump's Director of National Intelligence, and it's not like we have time for a primary. So what are the nuts and bolts of when local Republican Party leaders gathered to find somebody to make the nominee for an election that's 70-some days away?
It was a bizarre and unique process. There were 154 precinct chairs from the GOP and county chairs across 18 counties in Congressional District 4 that assembled on August 8th for a congressional convention. So the campaign was about 90 days long. And, Mark, it was bizarre. We would have forums where we'd have 22 candidates and only 8 people that could vote for them. It was like a junior high dance. We would just be sitting there waiting to talk to them. Sometimes there were lines waiting to talk to the voters. And so it was very untraditional in the sense that you could literally get to know, and I tried to. I met in person with 147 of the 154 delegates. It was a really neat deal because now you've got so many really close friends that can help you, you know, be a better congressman, be a better member of Congress because they're spread out over those 18 counties.
To say the least. What made you decide to enter that fray in the first place?
Honestly, to be very candid, we've got to stop sending the B team to D.C. I mean, we need people that are proven known entities that will fight for our conservative values and virtues and principles and fight fiercely for them. I mean, you've seen the left turn off a left turn off the left turn that the Democratic Party has taken. They are now literally proudly saying that they're socialists. And, you know, AOC and the New Green Deal and all these things, we've got to expose them. And then the myths, like the Black Lives Matter is based on myths. No data proves or even shows. In fact, the data shows when you look at it that African-American folks are less likely to be harmed by police than Caucasians. But they don't want to talk about that. So I want to live within basis of reality, but get on the national stage and fight not only for President Trump's priorities, but against these myths.
When we take a look at what lies ahead for you, it's an incredibly short. People run for Congress. People are going to start running for Congress usually the day after the prior election day because it's 2 years, it's forever. This has telescoped down. You're instantly thrust into that. And so what's it like raising money? What's it like planning a campaign? As if that's not weird anyway in a virus. So just tell us about the path forward to November 3rd for you as you try to become a congressman.
Yeah, because everything switches. I mean, I was laser focused on 153 people and didn't absolutely no fundraising because you didn't need it. I think I spent in the neighborhood of $25,000 to get a congressional nomination, whereas, you know, that's usually $1.5 million kind of adventure now. So now it's the traditional campaign where we have to raise money, you know, get out signs, talk to the media, go to events. I was just in Texarkana last night. The night before I was in Gilmer. It's 18 counties, so it's a large, very large district. And we've got to get the word out because we also have to run up the score in CD4 to offset the votes that will be coming out, you know, the net votes for Democrats in Houston and Dallas and Austin. And by the way, Mark, I was in Austin 2 days ago. It is like a war zone.
Man.
And it looks like Austin lost. It's disgusting.
I know. And there was Governor Abbott in Fort Worth yesterday talking about, all right, listen, any community that's going to defund the police, maybe we freeze your property taxes so you can't raid, you know, one pocket to finance another and engage in that kind of activism. You know, it's funny. It is the John Ratcliffe departure from District 4 that creates this entire dominoes thing. The last time I was in a room with you, I was in a room with him. Remember February 1st? It seems like 10 years ago. It was the Grayson County Republican event. It was a joy to be up there. He was there. You were there. IMC, the thing. We were having a great time. Man, who knew what lay ahead?
No, yeah, there's just no possible way you can know these things. You know, listen, if we're movement conservatives, I mean, Ted Cruz endorsed me and came up on the day of the vote because he's a movement conservative. So we're always going to be looking for our best and highest use. And many times that's in God's hands, and it's about timing, and this just fell into place. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. One of the other main candidates that was running for this decided he was going to focus on fundraising. And I'm thinking, what does that matter? I mean, if you don't win, what are you going to do with the money? So he was successfully raised $100,000, and I successfully got 82 votes to his 34. So he's got, I don't have any money, but he's got the 100 grand, but yeah, so, I'm the nominee.
That's a surprise. Nothing succeeds like success. So, this is not really suspenseful. I know you take nothing for granted. No one ever should. And we need to get out there and give Pat the massive landslide that he needs. We need to make sure President Trump wins comfortably. We got to make sure John Cornyn wins comfortably, because we can't have this purple Texas mythology hanging over our head. You got to be thinking about, you know, being sworn in and what your thought is. What does Congressman Pat Fallon's agenda and checklist look like?
Well, number one, we have to start talking about a balanced budget amendment again. And that almost kicked out to the states, and I think it was the late 90s. And so that boulder had made it almost to the top of the mountain and then roll all the way back down. We've got to start pushing that back up. A merit-based immigration. These are issues, by the way, Mark, that win the middle. We can be very conservative. We don't have to become more moderate. I think that's the path to disaster. But why not have a merit-based immigration system? We've got wonderful people all over the world that want to come here. Let's take the best the world has to offer. Obviously, we want to repeal Obamacare, repeal and replace it. I love the idea of a flat tax. We need desperately congressional term limits and have workfare where people, you know what a disaster it's been with welfare, and it's been generational, and it hasn't succeeded, and it's not helping anybody, and it's, in fact, hurting the country. But, you know, people, we need to have these discussions. And, you know, Ken Paxton told me once that it's more important to kill bad legislation than it is to pass good legislation. And I completely and fully agree with that. Because, another thing, though, how about defunding sanctuary cities at the federal level? If you don't want to comply with federal law, and I thought we were supposed to be a rule of law nation, then we withhold federal funding from you because you're being literally lawless and you're making your citizens unsafe. Zero-based budgeting would be something that we've got to handle on our spending. You know that D.C. doesn't have a revenue problem, it has a spending problem.
Yeah, exactly right, which is what takes me back, because I'm fascinated. The first thing you mentioned was a balanced budget amendment, which has always been a good idea. But what it has in common with term limits? Everybody seems to think it's a good idea, and yet it never passes. And I always kind of wonder why. A balanced budget amendment would require constitutionally a balanced budget every year. And sometimes people say, you know, there are two ways to do that. One is to cut spending, which is good. That'll balance your budget. But the other one is to raise taxes to the moon. Do we run a risk with a balanced budget amendment of a Democrat Congress saying, hey, we got to balance the budget. We're the Democrats. Time to raise taxes.
Well, they can do that formula, and then they're going to get voted out. Remember 2010 when I think Pelosi lost 63 seats? That was a glorious election cycle. If that's their path, then they're going to be in a minority party for decades to come. Because one thing I noticed, well, I'll give you a perfect example, Mark. Remember, we had Proposition 4. I was the author of that and carried it in the Senate. And what Proposition 4 did on the ballot was, for those listening, was it made sure that we essentially banned the possibility of a state income tax in Texas in our lifetimes. And we needed 19 Democrats to vote for that. Every Republican in the House and Senate voted for it. But me and Jeff Leach, Representative Jeff Leach, pulled off a legislative miracle, and we got on the dime 19 Democrats to vote with us. But then we kick it out to the citizens, and everybody voted. And I think we got almost 80%, which meant it passed with even Democrats, because Democrats, some of them, many of them, don't mind you and me paying more in taxes, but they sure as heck don't want to pay more in taxes. And it's a formula for disaster if the Democrats at the federal level want to continue to raise taxes.
The Pat Fallon path has been an interesting one, and I've known him for virtually all of this, from Frisco City Council to the State House to the State Senate to, God willing, and voters showing up and doing what they need to do, to the Congress of the United States. And Pat, in a little over a decade, nice going.
Well, thank you. It's been a wonderful journey. And you know what, though? What are we all looking for, Mark? We're looking for people that will do what they say they're going to do, whether it's on a city council or all the way up to the presidency. And that's why President Trump has resonated so strongly with conservatives, is he said, like, for instance, he said that we are going to move the American embassy to Jerusalem in Israel.
And did it.
Now, Republican presidents. Yeah, thank you. Republican and Democratic presidents have said it in the past, and they haven't done it. He did it.
Yep.
And the media went, I can't believe you're doing this. He said, yeah, but that's what I said I was going to do. That's all we've done. And the Frisco City Council, when we killed the Arthur Collin County, it was going to be a boondoggle, spend $80 million so people could have subsidized performances of Madame Butterfly. And, you know, that I took political hits for doing it, but it was the right thing to do. And then when I ran for the state house, we got over 70% of the vote against a Joe Strauss lackey who spent a pile of money. And then, as you know, when we ran against sitting senator that had been serving for 17 years and spent $1.5 million, we beat him by 40 percentage points. Why? Because I do what I say I'm going to do, and that's what we're all looking for.
Well, look forward to, if there's any help we can give you on the campaign trail, we are here, and look forward to some conversations with you from Capitol Hill in the beginning of the second Trump term. That's just a fun sentence to say, Patton. Congratulations to you. Oh, I'm sorry, I've neglected. Got any thought about who your successor should be, shouldn't be, what level of involvement you'll have with that, or is that just rearview mirror at this point?
No, not at all. I absolutely love Senate District 30. I mean, we have 14 counties, 105 cities, 111 school districts, 45 chambers of commerce, and I was a member of all of them at one point, and that was not cheap. But it's great folks. And so I'm going to reserve judgment. Obviously, there's big names that are out there. I think you had Ms. Luther on, and Representative Chairman Drew Springer from Cook County is seriously looking at it, and I served with Drew since 2013. I want to learn more, and I'll have an open mind, but I have a vote in this. So what my thoughts are is to have two or three candidate forums in areas around the Senate District 30, make sure they're very fair and substantive. And then, you know, because campaigning is about vetting and see who is the proven conservative.
So you're going to serve. Well, I should have asked this 3 minutes earlier. I wouldn't give anything back. But you're going to sort of steward over, MC, arrange some candidate forums that essentially say, "Hey, I'm the outgoing guy, but I want to provide these forums for people interested in being my successor to get out and make their case."
I love the district too much. I mean, there's almost a million people, and it's one of the most Republican and conservative districts in the state. I think it is the most conservative. And so let's talk about their legislative priorities and their plan for constituent services and any innovative ideas they have to hold the office. And then, you know, you can put it on Facebook Live, and we can leverage social media to do that. Invite. I don't know. There might be others that jump in the fray. But let's get the most informed citizenry will make the best choice.
Is there and I don't know if people are sitting there drumming their fingers on the table, since what's going to happen to you is pretty obvious and obviously good. Is there an obligation for you to go ahead and step out of that seat? Legislature's not meeting. Is there a schedule for that? Or what's your thought on leaving this seat for the one you're about to occupy?
Yes, there's no doubt. I mean, listen, I'm about to fill a vacancy, God willing, in November. That has been open for 4 months and is going to be open for another four. So Congressional District 4, 760,000 people have been without a U.S. congressman for, it'll be a total of 8 months. And that's, I mean, I understand why that happened, but I do not want to see that happen in Senate District 30. So we can work it. So they're not without a senator for a few hours. And so we're working with the governor's office and the lieutenant governor's office right now on a timeline to ensure that the day that I do resign, there's a successor elected and ready to go immediately. Because we have a great staff. We have 9 folks on staff that do wonderful constituent services. And even though we're not in session, we're constantly – it's a full-time job, as you may imagine.
Yeah, it is. And a final thing, because I don't know if this ingratiates her to you, if you're going to be running emceeing a series of forums, but Shelley, about whom many good things can be said, indicated flat out yesterday that she thinks you're sticking around for pension-related reasons. Want to address that?
All right. Yeah, that is not – at all the case, and I don't know why she. I think she's new and green. That was just something that was just completely false and not wise and smart to say. I'm already vested in the pension. We get paid, by the way, $600 a month. I tell my wife it's 60,000 pennies because it makes it sound like it's more. But no, that's not the case at all. That couldn't be further from the truth. What we're working on is you've got a November 3rd election. Where the main goal here is to ensure that there is somebody seated in Senate District 30 in the Senate the entire time. And you can do that. It's a question of when I submit my resignation letter, when it will be effective, when the governor can call an emergency election. And then you always got the possibility, Mark, of a runoff election as well, if it's not just a heads-up race between Chairman Drew Springer and Luther. It could be others. And then if nobody gets 50%, then it goes on, you know, like that. So we just want to make sure. I can guarantee you this. There's not going to be a gap where there's no senator. Because if I wait until January 5th, I think we'll get sworn in Congress. It could be a gap of 3 or 4 months. And we do not want that.
Gotcha. All righty. It is Pat Fallon, state senator now, soon to be member of Congress. Everybody crossing our fingers and putting our noses to the grindstone. We'll talk early and often. Pat, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. You're awesome.
God
appreciate
bless.
It. God bless.
Thank you, man. Pat Fallon, 854. My, you can tell it's a political season, can't you? Let's get into the news with Gordon Griffin. And then have a chat with the woman who can. It's great because Pat Fallon's going to be our 4th District Congressman. That's a Republican for a Republican. We're going to help Beth Van Dyne keep District 24 in Republican hands on the exit of Kenny Marchant. That's a Republican for a Republican. What you got to look for here, the way we get Nancy Pelosi out of that speaker's chair across America is taking places where there are Democrats and beating them with Republicans. Have a chance to do that right here in the Metroplex. Genevieve Collins for District 32. She'll join us next. Mark Davis, 9 o'clock.